awesome. Oh, I love the way it ends just like that, too. Way to go. That is so awesome. So that was Get It Out by Jim McGorman, and you can go to iTunes right now and download that bitch. Absolutely. Booyah.
Congratulations. I freaking love the song, and ironically, I know we were talking about this, but like, that is so radio friendly. Like, I could see it playing on every major radio station across the freaking country.
Oh, thanks. I really appreciate it. That song came out, you know, it was one of those ones where it happened so quickly. I had just got off, I think, we had just come back from a run with Avril, like in Asia, and I'd been gone for about a month or so, and I got in the studio about 2 days later, and I have a friend who's a music supervisor, and he said, hey, you know, do you have anything kind of like, you know, alt rock, you know, killer Strokes vibe? And I was like, actually, I don't. And I thought, well, it'd be really kind of challenging and fun to do something. And I kind of altered my voice a bit. You know, if you listen to some of my other stuff, my voice, especially there's a song called Here that's in a movie called White Irish Drinkers, and it's completely different. And I just thought it would be really fun to try something like that. And pretty much started writing it as I was recording it, just kind of got that beat together. And I think the whole thing, literally writing and recording, was about 9 hours. And I was just amazed at how kind of cool it came out. At least I thought it was cool. And the people that heard it were kind of pretty supportive. So I figured I'd just put it out.
I think it is amazing. And can you talk a little bit about your title, like, of musical director, and what does one do? And how does that influence your music?
Well, that is a great question. You know, a lot of people don't know what that term means, and it is different in pretty much every application. But a musical director, if you kind of look at it as a parallel to movies, it's like, you know, there has to be somebody kind of steering the ship. And when you're in the studio, that's a producer, because they don't really call it a musical director. But it's basically, the way I look at it is, it's a producer or a director of a film. You know, it's a producer for a live record, situation. I mean, when you make records, you're putting, you know, weeks and all this time into tracks, you know, 90, 150 tracks per song. And then you're trying to get out on stage and have that sound represented with, like, maybe 4 or 6 people. And how do you do that? It's not a very easy thing to do, especially if you have a lot of backing vocals, or if there's multiple layered keyboard and guitar parts. Usually there's only maybe one keyboard player per band, or 2 guitar players, and maybe 4 singers, and a lot of the time they don't all sound like the lead singer. You kind of have to do things to adapt to that live situation. And like I said, everything's different. I mean, I do musical direction for Weezer, which I didn't even know that they would need somebody, because they're a self-contained band. They've been together for 20-some years. But when you kind of get in there and you talk about different kinds of things and things that they want to improve upon, it ended up making a lot of sense for them to have someone, especially when you have bands that have been together for a very, very long time. There's very sensitive, personalities at play. So it kind of helps to have an outside party come in and give their opinion. And sometimes you're just the guy to take a blame for something, too.
But that's cool.
Kind of how the quickest way to explain it. But I mean, with Avril, I do everything. And, you know, with her, we kind of talk about everything. We talk about set lists. We talk about arrangements of songs, song order, song lengths. And then there's all kinds of different applications when you're playing on television shows. Sometimes there's a backing track that you have to deal with, or other musicians that they want to bring in, for example, like the X Factor show. So it's a challenging thing, but it's fun.
That's kind of what I was wondering, too, like, since you know everything that it takes for a good live show production, and then for, like, television show, like, if that influences you as you're recording in the studio, because you know how you're going to have to translate things and different stuff.
Well, being a live player definitely influences me as a writer-producer. And it's something that I feel that that my tracks and what I'm able to do and what I'm growing into as a producer now, it's a huge help, because, you know, you'll listen. A lot of producers obviously are phenomenal musicians, but they may not necessarily be live players. and having that experience of being on stage for 20 years and playing every kind of stage possible and playing all these different kinds of music. I mean, from, you know, Shakira to Cher to Poison to Michelle Branch or whomever it may be, or the Goo Goo Dolls. You know, I think that I've kind of learned what translates well from a live performance. And so I kind of go it back the other way, because usually, okay, the record is already done, and how do we do it live? Well, now, you know, in production, I'm thinking, while we're recording, and I'm thinking, well, maybe we could, you know, how's this going to be live? And I hope and think that that is really helpful.
Cool. While we were playing the song, too, you mentioned that you're, like, working on some songs for Kate Vogel and Michaela Gordon, who I love Michaela Gordon. That was, like, season 2, I think, of American Idol, right?
I think she was one of the youngest ones at the time to be on Idol. And it's funny, it's amazing how many people remember her. To be, you know, if I'm being really honest, I didn't really watch the show at that much at the time, and I didn't really know who she was. And I was introduced to her, you know, through a co-writer and my partner Rob Valier, and we're doing writing and production together. And he introduced us, and oh my God.
I love her. We totally.
I totally want
her on the radio show. She did God Bless the Child, and she got eliminated. My husband thought she was the best one of the whole season. She got totally screwed, and but because she has such a great, big, huge voice and a great personality.
We talk about raw power and soul.
Yeah,
I mean, she is not short on that. I mean, she just comes in and, you know, if you're talking technically, like, we had to dial back the microphone by 10 dB because she is loud. I mean, she's got such power there. And we're real excited to be working with her. And
I'm really excited you're working with her, too.
A couple songs coming out real soon.
I'm very excited you're working with her because, like, I think that, like, the world, like, the music world needs her. She's so talented. She's so incredible. And I knew right away, as soon as I know all the songs she sang on the show, I know everything about her. I'm actually an American Idol, X Factor, or The Voice. I'm a junkie, like, for all those, like, Rockstar NXS, Rockstar Supernova. Like, I'm just a junkie for all of it. I like all of it a lot. And she was definitely a big talent who we didn't hear too much from afterwards.
Right. Yeah, well, she's still around. And I'm telling you, if this goes the way I think it's going to, she's gonna get people real excited. I mean, she's got some great stuff coming out. And I'm real excited to be working with her. And speaking of those other shows, my friends are all on The Voice. Which is actually a show that I was approached to be a part of as far as the house band. But it's the same core house band guys, Paul Mirkovich, Nate, and Sasha on drums and bass, Nate Morton and Sasha Kristoff that are on the same show. So they just have a different guitar player. But all those guys are on there, and I'm sure the music is phenomenal in that show
as
well.
It's a lot of, absolutely, even though you're not there.
I'm there in spirit.
That's right. Can I just repeat again, dude? You are like a badass mofo.
Oh man, I appreciate that. I've been fooling people for many years, and hopefully it'll continue.
Yeah.
I think with all your skill set too, like, you should be a judge on The Voice, and then you get to sit in one of those cool red chairs. Like, that's what I like about that show, is that it starts off just by listening to people.
Well, that's the thing that was a little odd to me. Like, I thought the idea was so cool, but then kind of after the first week or so, then that part's done.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of hoping for more of just hearing someone's voice and kind of, you know, discovering them just solely based on that. I mean, because in all fairness, I mean, you know, if we're being real, people listen with their eyes just as much as they do with their ears these days, you know, on a show like that. I mean, you know, after the first week or two, you're looking at people as well. So.
I agree. I liked it better when they weren't, like, when you didn't know who they were. And you didn't know if they were going to be big or fat or skinny or ugly.
I mean, it did so well. And, you know, they're going to be on, I think, after the Super Bowl this year. So I'm sure it'll be big.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a lot of fun to watch, though. I enjoyed it.
The thing I liked about X Factor was the freaking stage. Like, that production set with the screens, I thought was amazing.
And, like, it was a cool stage. Yeah,
you got to stand, like, on it and perform on it.
Yeah, it was definitely a couple notches up from some of the other shows. I mean, Simon Cowell, you know, he knows how to put it on, so they weren't going to mess around.
I saw a picture, and I think it was from X Factor, where it's like you peeking out, and you get to actually see, like, how many people are in the audience. And it is, like, astounding. It's like, oh, my gosh. And then you're broadcast, you know, to millions of people as well. But But even just the center there is like amazing.
Yeah, it's funny though. It always looks way larger on television. I mean, when you're in the room, it's actually not that overwhelming.
That's
because you play with a lot of big people.
One
of the largest crowds I've ever played to was the World Cup. That was kind of
oh my gosh.
Oh man,
yeah.
That's probably cool.
Dude, you're like so badass.
By the way, everybody in the chat room really loved the song too.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
Awesome.
So you don't get stage fright.
I appreciate anyone that wants to go spend the 99 cents on it. I really do appreciate that, and it's always great to be, have that feedback from fans on Twitter and stuff. I mean, it's really amazing because there's an app where you can tell where all your followers are from, and because Avril's such a huge star down in South America, I think most of the people following me on Twitter are from like the Brazil region down there, and we went down there over the summer, and it was just phenomenal. We got a lot of fans and a lot of friends that came out of that trip. So
tell everybody
cool.
what your Twitter is.
I'm sorry?
Tell everybody what your Twitter is.
My Twitter is at Jimmy McGorman, so it's JimmyMcGorman.
And then you have Facebook?
I'm on Facebook, but to be honest, I kind of keep that, like, I keep it more for, like, closer friends. Like, I kind of have it all separated out. I'm not on it nearly as much.
Okay, so go to Twitter to get him.
But Twitter's better. And I have a Tumblr, but I just send that to Twitter, and my Tumblr links to my website. So that's basically, I try to keep it, my site and Twitter, just because there's so much to deal with social media now. It's like, all these U streams and live streams, and I mean, it's just so many.
Well, we need one of your Brazil fans in the chat room to like step up, and then they can run a fan page for you on Facebook, and that way, your fan page can be your fan page, and you can have as many likes on that as you want, and then you have your private page.
Yeah, I think
page.
There's a few fan pages up there, to be honest, and there's a couple other with my name, and I'll tell you a funny story. My father is also Jim McGorman, and he's on Facebook, and people would friend request him, and Avril has so many fans in Asia, and we had somebody friend requested him, and he said, and he messaged him back, and he said, I think you're looking for my son. And the guy replied, why you not friend me?
We think it's awesome.
It's funny.
So your website is jimmcgorman.com. Your Twitter is Jimmy McGorman, at Jimmy
right.
McGorman.
Yes.
And we got another caller calling in, so hold on a second. Hello and welcome to the Jimmy Star Show.
Hello, how are you doing, Jimmy?
Good. Is this Shane?
It is indeed. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Hang on 2 seconds, okay? Hang on 2 seconds. Okay, Jim, this is our next guest. We want to thank you for coming on the Jimmy Star Show. We also want to thank Rob Evanoff from 1888 Media for hooking us up with this interview. We want to congratulate you on Get It Out. Everybody go to iTunes and download it. And we want to say, again, thank you for coming on the show. We're going to stay in touch.
Thank you, guys. Awesome. It was real fun. Thanks.
All righty. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
All right, take care,
Jimmy.
Guys.